Welcome to The Lead, the exclusive news magazine of Northeast Texas, here on your station, 88.9 KETR. Good morning, I'm your host, Scott Harvey. On today's program, I speak with Chris Van Dusen, an assistant press officer with the Texas Department of State Health Services, on the new law now in effect that requires meningitis vaccines for new college students. Later, Jesus Flores takes you on a trip to the Westside Barbershop in downtown Commerce, and university professor Dr. Lavelle Hendricks stops by to talk about the Martin Luther King Jr. Award ceremonies taking place in the region this weekend. Those topics coming up on The Lead. We'll first recap the week's headlines. That's next on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Public radio listeners are heavy users of bank services, home mortgages, and financial management planning. Are these listeners your customers? They can be. Become a KETR program underwriter. For more information, call 903-513-9684.
Listener support is what makes KETR stand out from other stations. Because you value the wide range of music you hear every day on KETR, we hope you'll make a pledge now to support it. With your donation, we'll be able to bring you another year of news and entertainment. Do your part today by pledging online. Go to KETR.org and click Support This Station. You know, every dollar makes a difference. Thank you.
Welcome back to The Lead. It's now time to take a look at some of the news-making headlines this week. 16-year-old Casey Grant Egeline of Wills Point was killed in a hit-and-run on Friday as he lay on FM 47 north of the city. 67-year-old Reuben Land, who said he thought he hit a bag in the road, contacted authorities as soon as he heard about the accident and is not expected to be charged. Lola Danielle Cherry was convicted in Hunt County Friday for attempting to kill her newborn daughter in 2009. She faces up to life in prison upon sentencing, scheduled for sometime next week. Commerce resident Bobby Dean Fisher has pleaded guilty to assaulting both a city and university police officer during a May 2011 incident. The charges earned Fisher 2 years in prison, and he was fined $500 on each count. A Garland man has admitted to robbing three North Texas banks. Anthony Blue will be sentenced in April after pleading guilty to robbing banks in Garland and Rockwall last June, and then another bank in Quinlan the following month. The discovery of human remains in southern Fannin County last week could prove to be that of Jack Randall Morris. Morris had left Bonham in 2009, and his abandoned vehicle was found along a county road. The remains have been sent for forensic testing. The Bonham Chamber of Commerce has received $45,000 from the city's Economic Development Corporation to stay afloat due to what was called mismanagement of funds in previous years. The agreement was called the difference between life and death for the chamber. The Sulphur Springs School Board has hired Horn, Smith, Wood, and Preston Education Consultants, a superintendent search firm, to fill the vacancy of retiring Superintendent Patsy Bolton. Applications will be accepted through February 24th from potential candidates. The Greenville City Council has voted to appoint a task force to help guide the creation of a historic preservation ordinance. Concerns have arisen due to the number of homes being lost to neglect. The Cooper City Council this week unanimously approved to provide approximately $1,000 per month for 20 years as part of the expansion of Highway 24. Actual payments won't begin until as early as 2014. The nearly 10-mile expansion project from 2 to 4 lanes is projected for completion in 2015. Attorney George Alexander will challenge District 2 State Representative Dan Flynn for the Republican nomination. Alexander is a partner in the law firm of Curtis, Alexander, McCampbell, and Morris, with office locations in Hunt and Raines counties. He is also a small business owner. Edgewood businessman and engineer Bob Hall has formally filed to challenge incumbent Senator Bob Duell of Greenville for the District 2 State Senator seat. The district includes 9 area counties. Greenville City Council member Betty Franklin has announced she will not be running for another term this spring. She'll be the second incumbent who won't return after the May elections. Mayor Tom Oliver is ineligible to run this time around, having served 2 consecutive terms in the position. Former East Texas State University Board of Regents Chairman and distinguished alumnus Raymond Cameron was laid to rest over this past weekend. He was 92. Cameron also served as president of the Ex-Students Association and president of the Foundation Board. The gym at Bonham High School is to be named after longtime educator and coach Leonard A. Gerner on Tuesday. In between the varsity girls and boys games, Gerner's served in Bonham for 27 years. He's a 1952 graduate from East Texas State Teachers College. Texas A&M University Commerce students returning to campus next week for the spring semester will notice yet another transformation as the former music building has been torn down. The building was constructed in 1957. Students and faculty moved into the new music building in 2010. An audio from the spring assembly at A&M Commerce can be accessed at our website now. Topics covered by President Dan Jones on Thursday included, but was not limited to, campus construction, program upgrades, and enrollment. And Prairieland ISD's Leslie Watson has been named Region 8 Middle School Teacher of the Year and will now compete for the statewide honor against 19 other principals awarded in their respective regions. Watson came to Prairieland 2 years ago, serving the previous 23 years at North Lamar ISD. A handful of the stories making headlines this week here in our region, and you can find more information on those topics at our website, ketr.org. Up next, a conversation with Chris Van Dusen with the Texas Department of State Health Services. Stay with us. This is The Lead on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Excuse me, do you know how to get to Maine and Maple?
How's that cook?
How do you change the ringtone?
How much does this cost?
Does this bus stop at Elm Street?
We ask questions everywhere in life, except...
Any questions?
No.
At the doctor's office, ask questions.
What is this test for?
Are there any side effects?
Questions lead to better health care. Go to ahrq.gov for a list of 10 questions everyone should know. Questions are the answer. Public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hello, Northeast Texas. It's your old buddy Luke Clayton. I want to invite you to join me on Wednesdays and Saturdays for Outdoors with Luke Clayton. Each week we bring you a new show, and I try to get guests on that I think that you will find very, very interesting. Folks that are expert in catching fish, shooting bows, hunting with muzzle loaders, you name it, we have all the pros on. Remember, it's every Wednesday morning at 11 and every Saturday morning at noon on your station, 88.9 KETR.
You're listening to The Lead on your station, 88.9 KETR, and thanks so much for being with us. I'm now joined by phone by Chris Van Dusen. He is with the Texas Department of State Health Services. Chris, thanks for being with us today.
Sure.
And we wanted to take this opportunity to educate some of our students here in our listening region and talk about the meningococcal vaccine and new requirements. The state of Texas passed legislation last year that requires meningitis vaccines for new college students under the age of 30, and it went into effect on January 1st.
Right, and the change is for students, it had already been a requirement for students living in dorms. So the change is that students also living off campus will have to get the vaccine.
Now, classes here at Texas A&M University Commerce start next Tuesday after the MLK Junior holiday, and a lot of classes starting up soon. Do students have to get this vaccine a certain amount of days ahead of time, or can they do it the weekend before classes start?
Yeah, the law says it's going to be 10 days before the first day of classes, though there is a possibility for an extension granted by the college or the university.
Okay, because obviously we're getting close to that time now, and you're checking maybe with local clinics. Are they seeing those students? Have they seen those students? Are they getting this vaccine taken care of in time?
Well, I've seen, checking with the with clinics in our health service region, which are the counties that aren't served by a local health department, we've seen a fairly, maybe a little bit elevated numbers of people coming in, but it's been fairly typical in those areas anyway. And those are probably, we tend to serve more rural areas, more small towns, so, less likely that there's a large college or university in those areas.
Okay. If I could just put myself in the student's shoes, hey, why do I have to get this vaccine in the first place?
Well, I mean, the reason it's mandated is obviously based on the law that the legislature passed. But meningococcal meningitis is a very serious illness. It can cause serious damage or even death. So I think that was likely the thought behind passing the law. I know there have been some recent deaths, and did want to mention that this meningococcal vaccine protects against one a type of bacteria that can cause meningitis or some other infections. So there are other bacteria or viruses that can cause meningitis. This doesn't address those. So it's not a guarantee of protection against any kind of meningitis, but it does address the largest cause of meningitis, this one particular bacteria.
Chris Van Dusen is my guest, an assistant press officer with the Texas Department of State Health Services. Chris, what about the affordability of this vaccine?
It's a fairly expensive vaccine, $100 or a little more, as I understand it. It's covered by insurance, so our best recommendation for people is to go to their regular medical home, their doctor's office, or the clinic, wherever they usually get medical care, and get the vaccine there. It's also available at what we call community vaccinators. That's pharmacies like Walgreens, CVS, those kinds of places that may offer vaccine services, or university health centers that do vaccinations, mm-hmm. Likely have a supply as well. Obviously, they were aware this was coming.
Yeah.
And then we have a very small safety net program called the Adult Vaccine Safety Net Program that offers vaccines to adults who don't have insurance or who are underinsured. And we've actually changed our rules through January 31st, to open up the eligibility to any college student who needs it and is unable to get the vaccination some other way. Obviously, that's only as good as the supply of vaccine we have. And as I say, it's a very small program. It's a kind of a first come, first serve basis. But we do have vaccine available under those programs, and that can be attained at public health clinics, whether it's local health departments or our state department, our regional offices that do some vaccination clinics.
Okay. Yeah. And obviously, that's a special program, so the supply may be limited in that situation. But overall, has the supply been in good enough demand for these students to need it?
Yeah, we have not heard of any sort of general vaccine shortage with the meningococcal vaccine. I've certainly heard that there are, places, particular providers that may have run out from time to time, or the local health departments who are getting it from us who, have run out and have ordered new vaccine, and we're still ordering that under the safety net program to ship to them. So there may be little pockets or individual providers that have run out of vaccine, but I've not heard anything about a general shortage. It sounds like there's enough out there.
Okay. Okay, good. And then I've also heard that some universities, and I'm not sure if this is something you keep up with, but will allow maybe students to attend class under conditional enrollment if they haven't had the chance to get the vaccine in time.
Yeah, I know that. It sounds like as I was looking at the law this morning, that's an option. I don't know exactly what the rules are for that. It's being implemented by the Texas Higher Education Coordinating Board, so mm-hmm. it's not something that we at the health department are directly involved in. So I'm not sure exactly what the rules or the guidelines are for that.
Okay. And then just from the health department's perspective in general, what are some things that maybe college students need to be looking out for? Of course, they're getting vaccines, but there's always other risks when it comes to attending college, being in an area where you're with a group of people more closely than maybe you were in high school, certainly dormitories and whatnot. What are some tips that you usually provide?
Sure. I mean, I think it's kind of the same tips that we provide to anybody. If you're going to be in close contact with someone and living in those close quarters, leads to that. That can increase the possibility of spreading, various diseases, any kind of, disease that's transmitted from person to person, like the flu, like a cold, anything like that. So get vaccinations. And that's one thing that we're trying to emphasize right now as well is, people think of vaccinations as being for children, but adults need them too, mm-hmm. whether it's getting this meningococcal vaccine, whether it's a vaccine that can protect against pertussis and tetanus, those kinds of things, or whether it's getting an annual flu shot. That's the best way to protect yourself. Of course, there are other things as well. We always advise people, if you're sick, stay home. Don't go to class. Minimize the number of people you might expose to your illness. Cover coughs and sneezes. Wash your hands frequently with soap and warm water. So those kind of basics can go a long way into protecting people's health too.
All right, Chris, thank you very much.
Scott, I hope that helps.
Certainly, and we appreciate you taking the time. Chris Van Dusen is an assistant press officer with the Texas Department of State Health Services. Let's take a break. Come back with our Friday feature. You're listening to The Lead on your station, 88.9 KETR.
This is Sherry Gardner. Public radio listeners are heavy users of bank services, home mortgages, and financial management planning. Are these listeners your customers? They can be. Become a KETR program underwriter. For more information, call 903-513-9684.
These days, people go to great lengths to shed the stress of daily life. There's acupuncture, deep tissue massage, meditation, yoga. But all things considered, we offer our own type of healing, invigorating news stories that span the spectrum of human experience. I'm Robert Siegel. Nourish your mind weekdays on All Things Considered from NPR News. Asylum from the Ordinary.
This afternoon, beginning at 3 on 88.9 KETR.
We will not be an easy target. We will never roll over and let pain plan our day. We will protect our bodies and fight back by moving. We will do our morning laps, walk our dogs around the block, pass up the elevator, and proudly take the stairs. Because arthritis can't beat us if we beat it first. In the fight against arthritis, you need a weapon. What's yours? To learn more, visit us at fightarthritispain.org. This message brought to you by the Arthritis Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Lead. It's now time for our Friday feature. KETR intern and radio television student Jesus Flores recently set out to tell the story of a unique venue here in our region. What he found was a business that seemed pretty straightforward, but behind the scissors and shaving cream is a barber shop that has customers returning not just to get their hair cut.
Old Downtown Commerce, a place rich in history, is also home to one of the more entertaining little shops, the Westside Barbershop, that is. It's ran and operated by Mr. Dwayne Allen and Mr. Anthony Medina.
Let's see, the barbershop started in 1896 by a man named A.K. Freeze. This is its second location and moved into this building in 1920.
Once inside the shop, one of the most prominent features is a framed silver dollar. Mr. Anthony Medina explains.
There ain't no way in the world that the first dollar this barbershop ever made was a greenback. Some Uncle Louis collects coins, so what we did was we went and got an 1896 silver dollar. We took the greenback out and chunked it in the cash drawer and put the silver dollar in there. That might actually be the first dollar that a barbershop ever made.
One of the many perks of being a barber is the relationship that you build with the customer, like Mr. Dwayne Allen states.
We develop a unique relationship with your customers.
And that unique relationship is one of the many reasons that customers come back to the Westside Barbershop. Meet Mr. Doyle George, who's been getting his hair cut here for the last 15 years.
My name is Doyle George, and I've lived here and been in commerce and around it ever since I was 6 years old, and I'm 77. But I've been here coming to this barbershop with these boys now since 1996.
Meeting Mr. George led me to ask Mr. Allen about who his longest tenured customer was.
The longest one I know of is a man named Aubrey Wilson, and he passed away 3-4 years ago. But he would always inevitably get around to saying that, he didn't plan to live much past 100 years old because he never planned that far. And it was just ironic that he passed, 7 days before he turned 100 years old.
With seating up to 15 at the Westside Barbershop, Mr. Dwayne Allen had to come up with something to keep the customer's mind off of waiting. He developed the floor show.
And my partner and I, my cousin, we've developed you'd call it a floor show over the last 13, 14 years. And he'll start a joke and I'll hit the punchline, and we call it the West Side Floor Show. Haircut's $11, floor show's free.
And would you believe it? I actually witnessed the floor show for myself.
He talked us both into doing this mess, and we kind of got stuck doing it now. So too much invested in it to quit, and not making enough money to retire, so just kind of keep
sounds
going.
Sounds like, live.
So the next time you need a haircut or you just want to stop in and witness the floor show for yourself, visit the Westside Barbershop in Commerce. I'm Jesus Flores, 88.9 KETR.
Thank you so much, Jesus. Our Friday feature airs each Friday during the lead at 10 a.m. and again at 4:45 p.m. during All Things Considered here on your station. We'll also post that on our website along with the entire production today. If you have a Friday feature story idea for the program, we're always encouraging new ideas. Let us know and we'll try to get to work on that and have it on the air in no time. Send your ideas to scott@ketr.org. That's scott@ketr.org. Lavelle Hendricks joins us next to talk about a couple of major award ceremonies planned for this weekend. Don't go away. This is The Lead on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Mary Clark is your tour guide to the world.
Off we sped through Siem Reap and into the countryside, where we passed the Cambodians walking, biking, and riding. Mount Pleasant lives up to its name as a pleasing place to visit. Back at the restaurant, the cooking began. We moved between the chopping table and kitchen and used blenders, fine knives.
Let Mary Clark take you on a trip without even leaving your radio. During Mary Clark Traveler, Tuesday mornings at 7:20 during Morning Edition on 88.9 KETR.
Everyone has a favorite author, actor, musician, or comedian. At All Things Considered, we don't just bring you the news of the day. We introduce you to the coolest people you thought you knew and learn what really makes them tick. What you hear might just surprise you. I'm Robert Siegel. Join us every afternoon for All Things Considered from NPR News. Conversations that connect.
This afternoon, beginning at 3 on 88.9 KETR.
And welcome back to The Lead on your station, 88.9 KETR. Pleased to be joined now in studio by Dr. Lavelle Hendricks, pastor of East Caney Baptist Church, and also an associate professor in the Department of Counseling here at Texas A&M University Commerce. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Of course, Martin Luther King Day is on Monday, and some excellent celebrations here in the Northeast Texas region in honor of the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in both Hunt and Hopkins County, some award ceremonies.
We have two celebrations going on. One Sunday at 2:30 here in Commerce at the Mount Moriah Baptist Church, and then one Monday night in Sulphur Springs on January the 16th at 7 p.m. at the Morning Chapel Baptist Church.
A lot of award recipients for these two events this weekend. We don't want to give anything away and give their names just yet unless you'd like to name a couple, but I'm assuming there's a committee that is in charge of nominating these individuals and ultimately electing them to receive these awards.
Yes, we have a committee of about 17, 18 different individuals here in Hunt County and then about 20 over in Hopkins County, and we look at individuals that best exemplify the spirit of Dr. King, the spiritual component, the political, the social awareness, as well as his legacy for change.
And there's several different awards over various categories. Could you just give our listeners an idea of the criteria that goes into receiving one of these awards?
Yeah, for example, the legacy of King. This is an individual that, for the most part, that continues what Dr. King started, and very pleased here in Commerce. Ivory Moore, former employee here at the university, former mayor here in Commerce. He will receive the Legacy of King Award here in Commerce. And then W.C. Pryor, we call him the mayor of Birch Creek over in Sulphur Springs, Hopkins County. He will receive the Legacy of King Award there.
And these ceremonies are a couple of decades in the making, are they not?
Surprisingly enough, we've been doing it for the last 21 years. And this program started the first time we had it, we only gave out three awards, one in the area of political, one in the area of spiritual, and one in the area of educational. But individuals in the community started getting together, supporting the program, saying, I think we need to expand this. And I'm very pleased to say we normally have anywhere between 300 and 500 individuals in attendance during this celebration. It is a ecumenical, multiracial event. It's a free event, and everyone is welcome to come out to the programs.
We're speaking with Dr. Lavelle Hendricks, the pastor of East Caney Baptist Church and also an associate professor in the Department of Counseling here at Texas A&M University Commerce, and a couple of award ceremonies in honor of the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Of course, Martin Luther King Jr. Day is on Monday, a couple of ceremonies Sunday and Monday in Hunt and Hopkins counties to honor dozens of individuals. Dr. Hendricks, could you describe what it's like for someone to receive one of these awards?
I think for the most part, people are very pleased that they're happy. We normally will get nominations from the community One individual got 15 nominations from the committee, so we were happy to present that person with an award.
And I want to get your thoughts on the evolvement of the program over the years. You say now 21st anniversary of these awards ceremonies, and you started off with 3 awards your first year, and I believe this year it's going to be over 100 individuals and groups combined. It's got to say a lot about the community.
It tells a lot about the communities. In particular, when we had the very first one, we had Dr. David Talbert, who's a retired professor here. He babysitted Dr. King, and we had, like, say, about 12 people in attendance at that program. Well, last year we had over 500 in the program. Here in Commerce, we're very fortunate that the Vice Chancellor for Diversity, former Provost and Dean here at the University, Dr. Frank Ashley, will be speaking on Sunday at 2:30 at Mount Moriah. And then word has gotten around about what we're doing also in Hopkins County. Sean Rapp, a reporter for KDFW, one of the local television stations, will be sharing with us on Monday night in Hopkins County.
And another thing you've been able to evolve over the years too, correct? Bringing in some of these keynote speakers to involve the public with Dr. King's message.
Yes, we've also had Dr. Robert McTeer, who used to be one of the presidents of the Federal Reserve Board. He shared with us. Dr. Talbert shared with us. Dr. Jones, our current president, has shared with us. So the program has grown and has been greatly embraced by the communities over the years.
And looking ahead, do you see it continue to expand in terms of the amount of awards you may hand out or the extension of activities on that awards day?
I think for the most part, the program in itself is about an hour and a half. In the past, we used to give biographical information about the recipients, but needless to say, that got a little bit too long. So now what we do is just basically call the person name out and recognize, and for the most part, over 121 individuals, both here in Hopkins and Hunt County, is a testament to the program and how those in our communities have embraced the program.
And these events are open to the public for this weekend.
Everyone is invited to come out. We have wonderful singing on the program, as well as some very special dignitaries throughout our area. State Representative Dan Flynn will be in attendance. Judge Robert Newsom will be in attendance. State Representative Urban Kane will be in attendance. So we have a lot of dignitaries will be there as well.
Dr. Hendricks, we appreciate your service and what you've been able to do in terms of helping award these individuals in our community in honor of the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And thank you so much for coming by the studios to talk with us.
Appreciate you inviting me to come out. And also do know that KETR is one of the recipients for this year, as well as Jared Knight. So we're very pleased at what the radio station is doing for our area here as well.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you now.
That's Dr. Lavelle Hendricks, pastor at East Caney Baptist Church, and also an associate professor in the Department of Counseling here at Texas A&M University Commerce. You can find more information on the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Awards ceremonies in both Hunt County on Sunday and Hopkins County on Monday on our website, ketr.org/events. And we'll talk about more events in the Northeast Texas region and wrap things up after this break on your station, 88.9 KETR.
KETR is your trusted source for local news, weather, and information. This is coverage that's becoming less and less common elsewhere as radio stations cut back on their budgets in these tight times. At 88.9, your contributions make up a large portion of our budget, which makes your involvement so vital. Help out your station with a contribution in any amount, and it really does make a difference. Visit KETR.org and click on support. Donate a few minutes of your time and a few of your hard-earned dollars to keep KETR running strong.
And welcome back to The Lead. As we wrap things up here on the program, we want to run down the community events calendar for Northeast Texas. And we just spoke with Dr. Hendricks about some of the MLK Jr. Awards ceremonies. There's a couple other MLK events taking place in Greenville. They will have an observance at the St. John Missionary Baptist Church. That's on Sunday. And then an MLK Jr. Parade and March on Monday morning. That begins from the Market Square on Lee Street. And then following the march and parade, there's a youth extravaganza at the Greenville Municipal Auditorium, so Monday. And then also other events throughout the weekend. Graham Wilkinson performs at the Rail on Saturday and Sunday night. Greenville's Elks Lodge has their annual hoop shoot competition at the YMCA. And is the Winter Wonderland at the Audie Murphy American Cotton Museum, also in Greenville. That ends this weekend. You can find more information on community events at ketr.org/events. That's going to do it for today's installment of The Lead. We hope you enjoyed our conversation with Chris Van Dusen with the Texas Department of State Health Services, who brought us up to speed on the new requirements for college students this year on the meningitis vaccine. We also heard from Dr. Lavelle Hendricks about the MLK Junior Award Ceremony Sunday and Monday. And a big thanks to Jesus Flores for his feature on the Westside Barbershop in downtown Commerce. We're back same time next Friday at 10 a.m., and our show re-airs at 9 a.m. on Saturdays. And you can hear archives of the show on our website, ketr.org. Coming up next is Texas Matters. This has been The Lead, the exclusive news magazine of Northeast Texas, on your station, 88.9 KETR. I'm your host, Scott Harvey. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.